Invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the sixth chapter this morning. And we're going to read this whole chapter together, including a couple verses at the end of chapter 7, to gain the context to what we're talking about this morning, which is supernatural living in a natural world. Supernatural living in a natural world. Acts chapter 6, and as you're taking your Bibles and turning there, would you please stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Syrians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, 'This Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us.'" And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw that his face was as the face of an angel. And then turn to the end of chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. Stephen, after speaking the word of God and giving a history to the people of God and how God worked in their life, it says this: "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Let's pray together. God, I do pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would visit us afresh this morning, that we might see the wonderful things in your word. May he be our counselor to guide us into all truth, that we this morning might see our great need of Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word and how you preserved it for us. We honor it this morning, but we honor and glorify you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I contemplated what to speak on this Canada Day, I was thinking about the incredible need for us to make a difference in this world that we live in. We celebrate 151 years of Canadian history. But if we were honest with ourselves, we are not the nation we once were. We have strayed far from our God. And sometimes I believe we as believers, because we know the Word of God, and we know that it says in the end, the hearts of many will wax cold, that the road is narrow that leads to life, and few will find it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter it. It is easy for us to feel like we are losing a battle. Is there any hope for our nation? Is there any hope for the city of Regina? The New Testament believers lived in a nation that was opposed to the things of God. And I want you to understand that the churches, those early churches, had the revelation of God, and they knew what we did. That Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will find it, but narrow is the road that leads to life. And these disciples, although they knew that they were going against a world system that had been controlled and is controlled by Satan himself, they believed their God was greater. They did. And they went into that world and they preached the gospel, and God worked mightily on their behalf. And here was a man, Stephen, who it seems just stepped on this earth before God took him away. One of the commentators I read said this: his life was not long, but it was full. May we be people who live a full life of devotion to our Lord Jesus. Stephen, his name means crown. It's where we get our word diadem from. It's a royal crown, a victor's crown. And he had a Greek name, and so this crown that his name was based off of would have been that victor's crown by Greek athletes, that was a leafy branch that was formed into a wreath that was placed upon the victor's head. And in a way, I think God had a marvelous way in naming this man Stephen, because Stephen set aside an earthly crown to receive a martyr's crown. He set aside a crown that would fade for a crown that was forever. He set aside that which was perishable for that which is imperishable. It could be said of Stephen, like those recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, the world was not worthy of him. I think we could say that. The world was not worthy of this man, Stephen. He was truly a supernatural man living in the natural world. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, the problem with our nation is not the people of our nation, but the people of God. If we, this morning, get our hearts right before God, He will use us mightily to make a difference in our nation. The title of our message is Supernatural Living in a Natural World. The first thing I want us to see in this quest for supernatural living, how can we live the way God wants us to live? First, I want you to see in the life of Stephen that we see that he had a life that was surrendered to God. If you're writing notes down, you can write that down. He had a life that was surrendered to God. Look at Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Here they chose Stephen. The phrase full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, this idea of being full of means to be controlled by. So one could simply say that Stephen was controlled by the Holy Spirit. He had surrendered his life to the Holy Spirit. You might understand it better this way. If someone is an angry person, one might say they are full of anger. They are controlled by anger. And here we see a man, Stephen, who was controlled not by anger, but that by God, by the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't you rather be full of God than anger? I mean, I remember as a kid, I was always angry at something. I'm so grateful God fills my heart and changes my nature, as he did for Stephen, so that we can live the way God wants us to live. Now, Stephen was chosen for a specific task. What was it? Let's look in the text. In verse 1, it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists." Now, these Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews. And they saw that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And so they complained about this. And may I add this, that it is never right to complain. Although there may be a need, and the apostles recognized that need, the Bible says this, "Do all things without complaining and arguing." All things without complaining or arguing. A church bulletin read this, that it takes no musical ability to be harping on things. You might get it later. He was chosen for a task to wait on these tables. It was a very natural task. It was a very ordinary task. And these apostles could have said, like the world would, or like we in our carnal nature would, "If it's just tables, anybody will do." I mean, we need the spiritual people for the spiritual jobs, but for this issue of tables, anybody will do. No. The apostles understood the need for spiritual men and women of God to be serving him in all areas of their life. You see, they had requirements for these seven men who could be easily understood as the first deacons or servants of the church. The requirements were, in verse 3, that they were to seek out from among them seven men of good reputation and full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Stephen was found to be full of faith. And he was faithful in this ordinary task. And as we go out from here today, you may be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a realtor, whatever you may be. It does not matter if it is a worldly task, if we want to term it that way. We ought to live supernaturally in our ordinary worldly tasks. That's God's plan for us, supernatural living in a natural world. Luke 16, verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful in much." And so here we see Stephen. He's just simply waiting on tables, and it's like God says to him, "I got something else for you to do. I want you to start speaking my word." And so we see that he began to work miracles and wonders. Look in verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." I mean, he was a waiter. And now he is performing wonders and signs, and he's speaking to the people. And they are marveling at this man. It says here in verse 9 that then there arose some which is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Syrians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, and they were disputing with Stephen. Now the synagogue of the freedmen would been have Jews from Alexandria, Cilicia, Asia, but I don't want you to miss this, that Cilicia's capital city is Tarsus, which we know a man from Tarsus, and his name was Saul. Who would one day become the Apostle Paul? And here he is, along with the others, disputing with Stephen, and it says that they could not resist the power and the wisdom by which he spoke, the spirit by which he spoke. I can't help but think of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Think of it. This Saul, a learned man in the things of God, could not resist the spirit by which Stephen was speaking. Stephen was a waiter against one of the preacher of preachers. Saul could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And I can't help but think that when Saul penned these words in the New Testament, that he was thinking of Stephen when he wrote them. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is sheer speculation, but I suspect that Stephen was often on the mind of this man Saul, who we know as Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want us to look together, beginning at verse 18. Think about Saul disputing with Stephen. It says this in verse 18. Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." And one of those people was Saul. "For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish Stephen," my own paraphrase. "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to the shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Stephen couldn't take glory for this. And the Apostle Paul understood what was happening on that day, that when they were disputing with Stephen, a man surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, God got all the glory because it was God who was at work, not Stephen. Stephen lived a life full of surrender, and I would wonder how many here are living a surrendered life to the Lord Jesus. The problem in many of our churches is that we have saved people, but we do not have surrendered people. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And we are prone to wander. And we need to say, "Lord Jesus, forgive us for living our own life, our own way. And we surrender ourselves to you, O God, and ask that you would use us for your glory alone. And watch God work in your life." Not only did he have a life that was surrendered, he had a light that was shining. Acts chapter 6, verse 15, you can turn back. Stephen is disputing, or these people are disputing with Stephen, and they set up false witnesses against him, and they look steadfastly at him. And in verse 15 it says, "And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, Stephen, and saw his face as the face of an angel." Listen to this. Stephen standing in the presence of men, while his face was reflecting the glory of God. Our nation needs to see us reflecting the glory of God. They need to see God working in our life powerfully. Know this, we ought to shine in a dark world. What use is a light if it's already light out? Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 describes us this way. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Some translations say, as stars in the universe. As a star in the universe. This was Stephen. Stephen's light shone brightest when this world, to him, was at its darkest point. There were false accusations against him in verse 11. You can look at it. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Then is verse 13. They set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And I want you to think of yourself like Stephen. Someone is accusing you or you and saying false things against you, and they're sitting there watching you to see what you will do. And to these men's utter amazement, as they were looking steadfastly at Stephen, his face radiated the glory of God. Stephen did not even need to say a word. They knew. And all the universe was watching to see how Stephen would react to these accusations against him. But oh, how he just had surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus. He was willing to be used of him, and his light shone brightly. And they accused him. I want you to see this. They accused him of speaking against Moses. And as they did that, God lit up Stephen the same way he did Moses. You see, when Moses was on the mountain, he saw the glory of God. And when he came down, his face shone. And these men would have known that. They accused Stephen of speaking against God. And God says, he's my man. And he shone heaven's light on Stephen. And he reflected the glory of God. You know what? We need to let our light shine. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Just like the apostle said, the apostle Paul, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, when people see your light shining for him, they will see the glory of God at work in your life. I can imagine as the false accusations were being hurled against this man, and his future was uncertain. And as he looked in the people that were accusing him and saw darkness, as they were looking at him and seeing light, Stephen thought of these words, hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Not only did he have a life that was surrendered, not only a light that was shining, Stephen had a look that was steadfast. Look at the end of Acts chapter 7. Stephen has just finished speaking a marvelous message, and I encourage you to read this word from Stephen later this afternoon. But he testifies to the work of God through Abraham, through Joseph, through Moses, through the law, through the temple. And at the end, in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, look at this, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The KJV, the King James Version, says that he looked steadfastly into heaven. He had an unwavering look. And just as the moon shines brightest when it is in full view of the sun, so we shine brightest when in full view of our Savior. Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God. And this is the same glory that was shown to Moses. And I can just imagine that this dear saint of God needed to see what he saw so that he could persevere to the very end. And God, in his grace, opened the curtains of heaven. And Stephen's view was taken from the things of this earth to the things that are above. And he saw heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It captivated his view. The glory of God was the same glory that Moses saw. It was the same glory that brought Ezekiel down to his knees. He saw the glory of God, but he also saw a standing Savior. Stephen was about to give his life for his Savior. God pulled back the curtain of heaven, and Jesus rose to his feet to say, "You can do it. You can do it, Stephen. I will help you." His standing speaks of encouragement. You see, throughout Scripture, a seated Christ resembles the finished work of Christ on the cross. When Jesus died and ascended into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of God. It was finished. It was done. But what brought Jesus to his feet was a dying saint. Jesus standing speaks of encouragement. It speaks of welcome. It speaks of approval. He's saying, "Stephen, well done, good and faithful servant." And notice at this point that when Stephen is looking at this angry mob has no hold on Stephen. It's like he doesn't even notice they are there. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus," you see, his gaze was still fixed there. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Resembling the very words that Jesus had spoken on the cross. Then the Bible says that he fell asleep. The Bible doesn't use the word that he died, because for a Christian, death is not final. If we are to make a difference in this world, we need to get our eyes off our problems and look on our Savior. We must glance at our problems, but gaze upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Are you looking to Jesus? Or has Satan captivated your eyes to be looking elsewhere? Staring at your problems, staring at your difficulties. No, God wants you to stare at your Savior. And oh, he will strengthen you. In our conclusion, I want to invite Joe to come and lead us in a closing song. I heard a wise pastor, John McGregor, say that. I've always wanted to say that. He said this: Stephen died long before he was stoned. He died long before he was stoned. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Are you a surrendered person to God? He wants to use you. And if you would just say, "Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life to not just be resident, but to be president. I want you to take control of my life and lead me by the power of your Holy Spirit, that I might live a surrendered life, that I might live a life that is shining for Jesus, and that I might look steadfastly upon my Savior. It starts with surrender. Joe, would you lead us as we sing the song together? Please stand. Song of dedication to the Lord. To Jesus.